Well, it's good to be with you this morning on this Palm Sunday. My thoughts have turned to Palm Sunday during the weekend. No doubt as we journey in our life of faith, the Palm Sunday has images for us. I noted that here on the slides that there was a few palms for us to consider and for us to look at. At the places where I've had the privilege of ministering in the last, I guess, 10 or 20 years, there seems to have always been a few palms about. Palms that have come from people in the church, or palms that have come from neighbouring properties next to the church, where we did ask permission if we could cut the palms down. We just didn't go to the back fence of the church and lock off a few palm branches and bring them into the church. But of course, all of this, if we were to look into the Gospel of John account of the triumphal entry, it would tell us that the crowd, they took palm branches and went out to meet him shouting, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Growing up, Palm Sunday was a significant event in the life of the church that I was at. And I can remember back in Sunday school singing the hymn by John Henley. And sometimes we sang it in the morning service, "Children of Jerusalem." Perhaps some of you who are a similar vintage to me can remember. Perhaps you've never heard of it, I don't know. But the first verse went like this. "Children of Jerusalem sang the praise of Jesus' name. Children too of modern days joined to sing the Saviour's praise." And then the refrain, "Hark, hark, hark, while infant voices sing. Loud hosannas, loud hosannas to our King." And it's to this subject of Jesus being King of your life that I'd like to speak to today. If I can be so bold, and I'm sure you won't tell David who's not here that I'm going to actually just tweak it slightly and ask the question, is Jesus King of our lives? I like to include myself in just the reference of the question. Anyway, is Jesus King of our lives? A few weeks ago, I had the opportunity to attend a game of cricket between New Zealand and England. We happened to be in Wellington, and my wife is very gracious to me, and we went to the cricket for a couple of days there in Wellington in New Zealand. And at the start of the game, they sang the national anthems. And the English, for whatever reason, love to sing at sporting events. And yet on this occasion, as they sang their national anthem, which is now "God Save Our Gracious King," they didn't seem to sing with the same fervency or passion that I had experienced at various times in the past when they used to sing "God Save Our Gracious Queen." It was like that they perhaps hadn't given their hearts over to King Charles, if I can be so bold, to actually say that. They didn't sing with the same passion. I have to report that they did sing with much passion at the start of play each day to the cricket that we went to, with Sir Hubert Parry's song "Jerusalem," and did they speak in ancient times, and they sang that with great passion and great feeling. It seems to be their theme song. But the things that rule our hearts are the things that are most important to us. I was reading an article by a Presbyterian minister in a journal a week or two ago, and I liked what he had to say about the human heart, a guy called Mike Myers, and he said this: If the physical heart is a breathtakingly complex organ, the spiritual heart of man is more so, and much revolves around it and occurs within it. Just a sentence, let me say that again. If the physical heart is a breathtakingly complex organ, the spiritual heart of man is more so, much revolves around it and occurs within it. Can I suggest that the things that we store in our spiritual hearts reveal themselves in how we live our life every day? And if we're going to consider the question, is Jesus King of our lives, well then it will come back to what is inside of us, what is inside our hearts. The values that we keep in here, how we live our life every day. Perhaps the life commandments that direct the traffic of our affections and our living. Well, on this Palm Sunday in 2023, many centuries on from the first Palm Sunday, let us consider the case for Jesus to be the one who rules our living. For Jesus to be our King, as we think about the question, is Jesus King of our lives? And we do so by just delving into the scripture that we heard on that first Palm Sunday that we heard read to us this morning. We know that Jesus was determined to get to Jerusalem, to the task which was ahead of him. And Luke 9:51 tells us, as the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. He knew what was coming, but he resolutely, as the scripture says, set out on a journey to Jerusalem. Luke 13:22 tells us what he did on the journey. And we could read in any of the Gospels and we'll reference one or two of the incidents a bit later on. But it tells us that Jesus went through the towns and villages teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem. So we get the picture of Jesus journeying towards Jerusalem to what is going to come to him, ministering to people along the way as he had done in the preceding couple of years in ministry, teaching, healing, miracles, bringing people hope. So he's heading towards Jerusalem, as we heard in the scripture that was read to us this morning. The Mount of Olives travels down, and that would reveal a celebration of an anointed king. And perhaps in our minds we have an idea of what a celebration of an anointed king looks like from a human perspective. And if I can once again reference King Charles, that in the month of May, that he'll be in Westminster Abbey in London, and no doubt the world's media will be watching, and you won't be able to turn your television set on without looking at it. And the Archbishop of Canterbury will come along and place the crown on his head. And so maybe that's what we've got an idea in our humanity, what an anointing of a king, a coronation of a king looks like. Or perhaps another example would be the inauguration day for the US president that happens every 4 years at the Capitol building in Washington. Great crowds of people gather. The incoming president makes an oath of office promising to do certain things. Well, as we think about the question this morning whether Jesus is king of our life, let us look at two things from the scripture to help us with answering that question or considering that question in our walk of faith. The first one is, Scripture reveals to us that Jesus is King. Scripture reveals to us that Jesus is King. And so, if we can just go on a brief journey through the Scripture that we heard this morning from the Gospel of Luke. And we start off with this instruction from Jesus to two of his disciples, to find a colt, the foal of a donkey that has never been ridden. The colt was to be one that had never been used for any other purpose, for there would be no greater purpose for this colt than to carry Jesus into Jerusalem. And we see that Jesus refers to himself as the Lord, as he instructs his disciples that if anyone asks you why you are taking the colt, then you will say that the Lord needs it. Now there are a few thoughts as to what this means. Was Jesus simply saying that God needs it? So there's the colt. Well, some people say that perhaps it was a password, that it was all preordained, and that was the password, and the person who was the owner of the colt would hand over the colt. Whatever was happening there, Jesus would enter Jerusalem on a lowly, humble animal. On a lowly, humble animal. Contrast this with, I guess, a vision of a secular king riding into the conquered city on a war horse, if you like, on a noble steed. But that's not what happens for Jesus. He comes on the colt, the foal of a donkey. He's the King of Peace, the one who will bring peace between humanity and God through the cross. Verses 35 and 36 tells us, as we heard this morning, that they brought the colt to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. Friends, this was the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. Now, if I've done this right, we can see some words there of the Old Testament prophet Zechariah, chapter 9, verse 9, who spoke about the coming of the Messianic King, the one who would establish God's kingdom, bring restoration of God's kingdom, bring people into the kingdom of God. And Zechariah the prophet in the Old Testament spoke these words, "Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion, shout, daughter Jerusalem." In other words, people of Israel, see, your king comes to you righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on the colt, the foal of a donkey. That was the prophecy, friends, of years, decades earlier, centuries earlier, from Zechariah. So yes, Jesus was fulfilling the prophecy. He is the king spoken about by the prophet Zechariah. And as Jesus rode along, people were spreading their cloaks on the road. Again, we have an Old Testament reference to that activity that reveals to us that the spreading of cloaks along the road had been done before to herald in a king. And we look to the Old Testament again, to 2 Kings 9:13. With the anointing of Jehu as king of Israel, we read this. "They quickly took their cloaks and spread them under him on the bear steps. Then they blew a trumpet and shouted, 'Jehu is king.'" So as we get this picture of Jesus entering, going towards Jerusalem, we're left in no doubt that these are symbols of what we see there, and the prophecy of Zechariah is saying that Jesus is God's anointed Messiah king. And so we can have confidence in the scripture that reveals to us that Jesus is king. And the people are responding to Jesus. Verse 37 to 38 tells us, "When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest.'" Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. The words found in Psalm 118, verse 26, used in Jewish worship as a celebration of God's plan. The people were rejoicing at God's plan. They were in their hearts at this stage rejoicing as they could see Jesus coming in on the colt, the foal of a donkey. Friends, we know what it is to go searching, to prove something, to find out something for ourselves. And perhaps we go to the internet a lot these days. We do it through our phones, through our iPads, through our tablets, through our computers, and we search for a reliable source that will give us the information that we need to understand what we're searching for or trying to prove. Or perhaps we might be a bit old school, and we actually might go to a library. There are still library screens that we can go to. And we can research up on the subject that we're looking into. I used to like going to the library. It was nice and quiet, and you could open a book that you were looking at, reference point. But we know what it is to go and search for something. Or perhaps we might go and ask an expert in the field who's got the information that we're looking for. We know they're an expert. They've got the letters after their name. They've got the qualifications. Or perhaps, again, if I could label the points, we might go and talk to a trusted friend who we know has some knowledge and experience about what we're trying to find out. But at the end of the day, it comes back to us, doesn't it? It comes back to us. We have a decision to make on what is put in front of us. We can see from the scripture that records Jesus' entry into Jerusalem that he is the promised messianic king. We can find other Old Testament references from the prophets to prove that. But Jesus is the one who brings restoration between God and humanity. And Jesus is the one who should rule our hearts, should rule our lives, who should be king. And so, friends, it comes back to us. It comes back to us. Is Jesus king of our lives? Well, it comes back to each individual, doesn't it? It comes back to what is in our heart. Do we adore Jesus? Is there a fervency in how we live our lives every day? Are we living the Jesus way? Now, the second thing that we can observe from the scripture that I'd just like to draw our attention to this morning is the evidence that Jesus is a good king, and that can be seen by his actions. He's a good king can be seen by his actions. His actions, the actions of Jesus, the ministry of Jesus, they reveal the nature of his kingship. Now, if we think for a moment or two, we certainly would not give our hearts to a king who wasn't good, who didn't treat us well, somebody who didn't respect the people that they were ruling, someone who didn't have the best interest of the people who they were king of. we wouldn't be too happy if they didn't just respect us. But this crowd that gathered on that first Palm Sunday are responding to Jesus because of the good actions they have seen or heard about in the ministry of Jesus. The works of power and miracles of Jesus are frequently seen in the Gospels. And the Gospel of Luke, where we took our reading for the triumphal entry, is no different. Back in Luke chapter 5, verses 12 to 16, there's a recorded account of Jesus healing a man with leprosy. And after Jesus heals the man, he tells the man not to tell anybody, but to go and present himself before the priest so that he can have, if you like, the certificate to say that he's clean. And yet we would read what happens after the incident of this in Luke 5, verses 15 and 16. Yet the news about Jesus, him, spread all the more, so that the crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. It's one account of many that we could look at. People came to see Jesus because through his ministry, by his actions, he brought people hope. If you were sick in the days of Jesus and you had a bad illness, I suspect that the doctors were quite crude in what they knew about the human body, and so perhaps you lived your life in pain. Jesus, if you came across Jesus, he could heal you. He would bring hope to your life. It was a good thing. Jesus using the power of his office, if I can say that, for the good of the people. Again, if we were to look at the triumphal entry account in the Gospel of John, we would see a reaction to the people, from the people, to what Jesus has done for Lazarus in raising him from the dead. And we would read again the reaction of the people. John 12, 17 to 18. Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had performed the sign, went out to meet him. The people gathered to see Jesus on this first Palm Sunday because they see in Jesus someone who has the power to do good and does good and looks to the interest of others. Again, if you'll just let me labour the point again, the Gospel of Mark, the account of the triumphal entry there. Just before Jesus gets to this Palm Sunday, he finds himself travelling through Jericho. And on the outskirts of Jericho, there's a man called Bartimaeus. And he sits outside on the road of Jericho and he's begging. And Jesus goes past him on his way to Jerusalem. And Bartimaeus calls on Jesus to have mercy on him. What happens? What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked him. The blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. Go, said Jesus, your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. The evidence that Jesus is a good king can be seen in his actions. Since last year, the reign of Elizabeth II came to an end in the United Kingdom and over the Commonwealth. And we saw it seemed like an eternity on the television set. You couldn't turn the television set on for a week or 10 days without seeing some reference to Queen Elizabeth II and how she had lived her life. And people said many good things about her. Most commentators agree that she was a good queen, but her actions were evidence to that fact. As I looked into this, thinking about, the actions of a good monarch. The CEO magazine has this to say about the reign of Elizabeth II. Through her leadership, she showed love, guidance, dignity, understanding and respect. Feminine leadership qualities that were definitely not capabilities that were admired in a leader at the start of her reign. She always listened and gave people a fair hearing. That's what the CEO magazine said about Elizabeth II. The evidence of a good reign of a monarch is seen in the actions of the monarch. In Jesus, we have an eternal reigning monarch whose goodness is seen through his actions, and we can give our hearts, and who we can give our hearts to. For understanding the purpose of King Jesus brings us into an eternal relationship with God. We see the ultimate work of Jesus, his goodness, in him being the servant king. The servant king on the cross. Just let me, and we have time just for a moment, take you to the Gospel of Mark chapter 10, the Gospel of Mark chapter 10, there's an incident there where James and John come to Jesus and they ask whether they can sit at the right and the left of Jesus when he comes into his glory, or some translations say when he comes into his kingdom. And Jesus speaks to them about this, and the short paraphrase is that the other 10 disciples weren't very pleased with James and John because they had asked this question. And then Jesus says this to the gathered group, and it tells us something about his rule as a good king, good actions. He says this, he's gathered them all together. He says this to them, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Jesus, the servant king, gave his life for me, gave his life for you, as he speaks those words, as a ransom for many. And so we have to make a decision as to whether Jesus is king of our lives. Do we accept what the scripture reveals to us about him on that first Palm Sunday that we briefly investigated this morning? Do we accept all the symbols pointing towards his kingship, that he's the fulfillment of the prophecy of Zechariah? Are we prepared to acknowledge the goodness of his rule, the use of his power to bring healing and hope to people? And I very quickly gave you some examples of that as he journeyed towards Jerusalem. Friends, the proof of whether Jesus is king of our lives will be seen in how we live our lives, in the spiritual heart of who we are, in our very identity as people, in the adoration that we give to Jesus, in the decisions that we make every day. Whether Jesus is king of our lives will also be seen in the relationships that we have with each other. For Jesus calls us to love each other. The acceptance of Jesus as king of our lives is the pathway to eternity. And may we reflect on this truth as again we consider all of the aspects of Easter week, as we consider the meal in the upper room, as Jesus spoke to his disciples about what was to come, and as we think about Good Friday, and as we think about the joy of Easter Sunday. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word that comes to us afresh when we open it. And our prayer would be that as we live our lives every day, that there would be evidence that, yes, Jesus is king of our lives, in who we are as your people, as we live this life that you have gifted to each one of us. And that the love that you have shown us in Jesus would be reflected in who we are as your people, in the relationships that we have in our families, at the workplace and in the community that we find ourselves in, and also in the fellowship that we share together as God's people when we meet together in church. And so we thank you for the confirmation that Scripture brings to us, that indeed that we have a servant king in Jesus who has got our best interests at heart and who longs to rule in our hearts. May we give our hearts to him as we live every day. And we pray this in his name. Amen.